Now we're holding on Choftes Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Hamevi get be'eretz Yisrael." If a shliach is bringing a get from within Eretz Yisrael itself, the point being, in Eretz Yisrael itself, he doesn't need to say b'fana nechta b'fana nechtam, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta. So therefore, v'chola, if now he becomes sick, then he can send it with somebody else, meaning he doesn't need to go in front of Beis Din to appoint a second shliach, because had it been that he's bringing from Chutzlar to Eretz Yisrael, where he needs to be able to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechtam, then we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah, then he's going to need to do something in front of Beis Din, because the second one has to be able to say something when he brings the get. He won't be able to say b'fana nechtam, he'll have to say shliach Beis Din ani, but he'll have to say something to validate his credentials as a shliach and to say that the get should have the dinim that we've been talking about all along, where it's brought from the din asayam, where the husband can't object to it, etc. So, but here, where it's all within Eretz Yisrael, and you don't need to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechtam, then therefore he can send it with somebody else. However, if the husband had told the original shliach when you're bringing her to get, go get this, go also pick up this object from her, then already he's not allowed to send the get with somebody else, because we can say the husband doesn't want that that his object should be in somebody else's hands. This is a general rule that's discussed a lot in Bava Metzia, in Perek Eila Metzias, that and in Hamafkid, that you can't. We're going to see in the Gemara over here, you're not allowed to lend something that you borrowed from one person. You're not allowed to lend it to somebody else. But it also includes that when you're a shomer for something, you have to be the shomer. You're not allowed to delegate the shmira to somebody else without the original owner's permission. The Gemara in Hamafkin qualifies that and says it's one thing if the other person is a member of your family. When you mafkid something with somebody, it can be expected that you're going to also sometimes ask your family to watch it instead of you. It can also be if you had other times when this person has entrusted this object with the other person. But in general, we're talking about over here, you can't just pick some random person, even though you might trust him. The owner of the object might not. And the Gemara in Hamafkid and Bava Metzia has a whole sugya about why that should be so. Anyway. So Shain Ratzon, Shay Pikdonim Yadach, he doesn't want his Pikadin to be in somebody else's hands. So if it was just a matter of delivering the get, then he could have delegated that. But because now there's something else involved as well, therefore he cannot. So the Gemara says, Omer of Kahana, Kolotnan. So Rav Kahana says the din of our Mishnah is specifically when he got sick or has any other oinus. But if he doesn't have an oinus, then he can't send it with somebody else. So the Gemara says, Pshita cholakatoni. Well, obviously, the Mishnah says that he got sick. So that means that there was some kind of onus. Why would we, why does Rav Kahana need to tell us that taka only in that case? And the answer is, Ma'u detema. Without Rav Kahana telling us, you might have thought, Hu'adin afagav deloy chola. Maybe the same din would apply even if he wasn't sick, even if he just didn't feel like going and decided to delegate it to somebody else. You could argue that when he says chola is just because the Mishnah usually describes typical circumstances. So typically, why would he not fulfill his shlichus is because he's sick. But in fact, maybe the same din would apply even if he wasn't sick and just for whatever reason, not an onus, didn't want to go. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rav Kahana tells us that no, the heter to make a second shliach would apply only when there's an onus. Well, then the question is, hechidami. So the question is, then what's the scenario? How was the first shliach appointed that we should say that, what was the lashon that was used when he was appointed such that we would say there's a limitation on who he can appoint in his place and who he can't? If he just told him, bring this get, but he didn't say you bring it, hoylich just, it means bring, but it means not necessarily as the husband in particular that it be this person. So if he just told him that, then what's the problem? Even if he wasn't sick, then what's the problem? He should still be able to send it with somebody else if he just doesn't feel like going for whatever reason, because the husband showed that with that expression that he's not makbid, that that it has to be delivered by this person. The ido amalei at hoylich, if he stressed and said you bring it, then afilu cholam nami loy, then it shouldn't even work, even if he was sick, because the husband was makbid, that should be davka him. So then in that case, if he can't deliver the get because he's sick, then the only thing to do would be to return it to the husband, and the husband will have to find another shliach. The ear of Shimon Gamliel, afilu cholam nami loy. And if you're going to say that our Mishnah is like the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel, then we would say, even if he was sick, also not, because we're going to see in the following braisa that Reb Shimon Gamliel does not allow him to make another shliach. So when the husband is not makbid, then fine. Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree. Tosfos says that you could make another shliach, but over here in our Gemara, where we're in the braisa that we're going to bring now, Reb Shimon Gamliel would be saying that ordinarily you can't appoint another shliach. Tosfos says just that Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree when the husband is not makbid, then you could do it. But in other words, by default, he would assume that the husband is makbid. The Ritva says it a little bit differently. He says that ultimately the Gemara is going to answer that when he's sick. Fine. Usually the husband is not going to be makbid on such a thing because he realizes the guy is sick and therefore he had no choice. But right now, the Gemara doesn't know that yet. So anyway, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. If the husband says, Hoylich get zelishti, bring this get to my wife, then he is allowed to send it with somebody else because we see that the husband was not makbid. He just said Hoylich, which implies bring it, but he's not saying specifically you bring it. As long as it's brought, the husband will be happy. Keep in mind, by the way, with all of this, we're saying that this is all a shliach halacha that we're talking about over here, which is, we talked about a few days ago, you have different kinds of shluchim. This is the shliach who's going to stand in place of the husband, and he's going to be the one to deliver the get to the wife, and when he delivers it to her, then the divorce is going to take effect. So if he just says halach, then it means that he's not makbid, and anybody can bring it. But if he says, At hoylach get zel ishti, but if he says you bring the get to my wife, then he can't send it with somebody else. Reb Shimon Gamliel says either way, the shliach cannot make another shliach. He would need the husband's reshus in order to do that, and if he doesn't have it, then he can't. Then he can't do it. So who is our Mishnah like? When we're saying, and Rav Kahana is clarifying, that when he's sick, he's able to make another shliach, but when he's healthy, he's not, or otherwise has no oinus, then he's not able to. It doesn't seem to fit any of the opinion. It doesn't seem to fit any of the possibilities in this braisa. So the Gemara answers, you can give a few answers. Number one, we could be talking about even when the husband said hoylich, only if he's sick, or has some other kind of onus, only then does he have the heter of sending somebody else. When the braisa had said that if he says hoylich, he can send it with somebody else, it didn't mean that just any time he wants, he could appoint another shliach. Only if for whatever reason, he can't fulfill the shlichus himself. That would be one possibility. A second answer you could say is even if the husband said you bring it, but again, it would be different if he got sick. We can assume that even though the husband specifically said you bring it, implying that he's makbid, that the person himself should bring it, he would realize that if there was an onus, then he can't hold him to that, and therefore he wouldn't mind somebody else taking it. A third possibility, again, is that we're following Reb Shimon Gamliel, that our Mishnah is following Reb Shimon Gamliel. And again, it's different when he's sick, then we're going to allow him to send somebody else, even though usually Reb Shimon Gamliel would not allow him to appoint a shliach at all. So based on that, you have several different possibilities. In the standard Seder Haget that we do now, that people do nowadays, actually, with Brot and Shulchan Aruch, they usually, when a shliach is being appointed, the Beis Din will usually direct the husband to say explicitly to the shliach that if necessary, you can appoint another shliach and so on and so forth, even up to 100 shluchim, and that way that removes any ambiguities, and that makes it that for sure, whether chola or not, he's able to appoint somebody else. But if you don't do that, then you have what we're saying in our Gemara over here that only if chala, but not otherwise. Okay. The Gemara says Tanan. Well, let's look at our Mishnah and see, which possibilities of these it follows. The Mishnah had said, Hamevi get be'eretz Yisrael v'chala. We're saying that if he became sick, that if he's bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael, within Eretz Yisrael, and then he became sick, Harezim Ashalchib Yadachar. So we're saying he can send it with somebody else, but Uraminhu. The problem is, I have a contradiction from a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. The Mishnah says, Omer the Shnayim Tnu get le'ishti or the Shlosha. If he says to two people, give a get to Omer the Shnayim Tnu get le'ishti, he says to two people, give a get to my wife. So he didn't actually give them a physical get. But since he in effect he made them edim, but it also means that they can't delegate the writing of the get to somebody else. Means they themselves are going to have to write the get and deliver it to his wife. Because when he says tnu get the ishti, implies obviously since he didn't give them a get, they have to write one. So in effect, it means that he's giving them permission to. He's telling them kisvu. On the other hand, since he's saying tnu, then they can't delegate it to somebody else. And continues the Mishnah, oy l'shloisha kisvu get to tnu l'ishti. Or if he tells three people, write a get and give it to my wife. So then again, it means that they themselves have to write it. But the difference is, when he tells it to three, then they are able to delegate that to somebody else, because by appointing three people, in effect, he made them a beis din. So we see, and therefore, a beis din already is able to make a shliach. So inhu in avos shliach loy. So we see in the case of the two, we're saying that they themselves have to write the get. Avos shliach loy, but to appoint a shliach, they can't do that. So even in the case of the three, what he can do is fine. They can delegate to somebody else to write the get, but they still have to sign it. So we see though that a yochid at any rate can't create a shliach. So what are you telling us over here in our Mishnah that you could? And we're saying if he became sick, I'm an Abaya. So Abaya says, because you have to consider hosam time am I, because after all, what's the reason behind over there why they can't delegate it to somebody else? Mishum bizoyin debal. The reason is because of the embarrassment of the husband. So Rashi explains, usually the husband himself really is supposed to be writing the get. After all, the pasuk says v'chosav lo, which implies that he writes for her. Now, many times the husband doesn't know how to write a get, and therefore he hires a sofer to do it. But because he may not want it to be publicized that he doesn't know how to write the get, therefore, if he tells the two people, if he tells two people to write the get, then the implication is he wants them to write it themselves so that it doesn't become publicized. But in this case, hocha baal lekofid, whereas over here, when it comes to halacha, the husband doesn't mind, because what kapeda would there be? The get's already written. The case later on in Daf Samach Vav is talking about where the get has not been written yet. So there, they can't delegate the writing to somebody else because of bizoyin of the husband, but here that wouldn't be a factor. Tosfos actually points out about that. What bizoyin would there be? Didn't we, we learned a few days ago that the wife herself can write the get. So why would it be any worse for the husband, with the husband's shluchim, to delegate to somebody else to write the get? So Tosfos says that no, the point is usually the husband would write it. The chiddush was over there, as we learned a few days ago, that she can write the get even on a piece of parchment or whatever that belongs to her, and we assume that she'll know to be machne to her husband in order for it to be a valid get, because again, if she doesn't, then you have a problem. But that would be the chiddush over there, not so much to highlight the point that the husband may not know how to write the get. Usually it would be the husband's responsibility to write the get. If he can't, then he hires somebody else to do it. But it might be embarrassing for him to for it to be known that he can't do that. So therefore, if the get hasn't been written yet, they can't delegate the writing of the get. But here in our Mishnah, once the get has already been written, then there's no bizoyan to him in appointing a second shliach. That's Abaye's answer. Rava Amar Mishum de Mili Minu. Rava gives a different answer. The problem with the shlichos that we're talking about over there on Daf Samach Vav is it's mili. It involves words. It involves words. We'll talk about in a second what that means. Umili le mimsir and l'shliach. You can't give over words to a shliach. So Rashi explains, in other words, that the difference is exactly that. Mili means you have something that is you have something intangible. So in other words, exactly that. You can give over an actual physical object to somebody else, like the actual physical get. But you can't give over just words where you told the shluchim write this get, and we told the shluchim write this get. Then they can't delegate those words of they can't delegate that to that instruction write this get to somebody else. So therefore, that would be considered mili. Then there's a couple of other explanations. What mili means. Another explanation Tosfos brings in some places from Mordechai actually brings from Hakodesh Miradush. So Hakodesh, I guess, means he was one of the Balei HaTosfos. We don't know much about him. In some places, he's called Rav Shloima. Meradush means he was from a town called Radush or something pronounced vaguely like that in France. I think I've seen one possibility. It's actually in some places Tosfos quotes a Rav Shloima Midroyish, which would be there's a town in France called Dreux, however it's pronounced, Dreux. So maybe he came from there, whatever the case. Anyway, the Mordechai quotes the Kodesh Meradush. The Pashtus is called Kodesh because he was killed by Kodesh Hashem, but I don't think we know really much about him to know for sure. Anyway, he gives an explanation that mili means something that depends on somebody else's consent. So over here, you need somebody else to write the get. Therefore, that would be something that you can't give over to the shliach. As opposed to when we're talking in our Mishnah, where the get's already been written and it's just a matter of bringing it to the wife, there you don't need her consent because you can divorce her baal kocha. So that wouldn't be considered mili. So that's a different definition of mili. Then there's another explanation. The Mordechai brings yet another explanation. He says from Modi HaKoyin, from my Rebbe the Koyin, who again I don't know if we know who that is exactly. But anyway, he learns that mili means something that's not gemar meiser. It's not the last stage that has to be done in order for the thing to be accomplished. So writing the get is not the last stage. You still have to deliver it, as opposed to once the get has been written, then all you need to do is deliver it. So that can be considered that it's already sofa maisa and it's not called mili. Whatever the case, the point is that so you have, however you define mili, then Rava is saying you can't give those over to a shliach, and therefore the writing of the get cannot be delegated to somebody else. So the Gemara says, my binayu. Okay, so we have Abaye's answer and we have Rava's answer. Abaye's answer that depends on the bizoyan of the husband, because now people are going to know that he can't write the get himself. And Rava's reason, because mili le mimsir on l'shliach. The Gemara says, my binayu. So what's the practical difference between these two reasons? And the answer is, ikka binayu shliach matonim. Excuse me. The nafkamina between them would be, when you're sending a shliach to bring a balabas says to two edim, write a shtar matona that I want to give something to Pliny. So if we say it's a matter of bizoyan, then he's not required to write the shtar. So therefore, there's no problem with them delegating it to somebody else. Unlike the get, where it says v'chosav lo, by a shtar matana, it doesn't say any such thing. So therefore, then if according to Abaye's reason, there'd be no problem with those shluchim going and telling somebody else to write the shtar. As opposed to according to Rava's reason, then with that mili le mimsir on the shliach, you have the same problem with mili. And again, according to all the various opinions, you have the same issue. If you say that mili is something intangible, then here it's intangible because the Shtar Matana hasn't been written yet. If you say that it's a, if you say that it's a matter like a Kodesh Meradish says that requires the other person's consent, a Matana requires the other person's consent. He could turn it down after all. And if you say like, and if you say like the Mordechai in the name of Mori Akoyin, that it means that that it's not the last stage of it. Well, then this isn't the last stage of it either, because you have because the Shtar Matana has yet to be written. And the Gemara points out, in that case, then the nafkamina between Abaye and Rabba would depend on a machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, because Rav on matana eni kaget or Shmuel on matana harei kaget. So Rav says that a gift is not like a get. So therefore, that would mean, even though with a get, we're saying that when you tell two people to write it, they can't delegate it to somebody else. But when it comes to a shtar matana, you could. So Rav's statement that you could would follow a biased logic that with a special reason by a get, because bizoyin the baal, and you wouldn't have that by matana. As opposed to when Shmuel says matona harei kaget, that would fit with Rava's explanation that the problem is that mili le mimsir and l'shliach, and by matona you have the same problem of mili. Okay.
I said before, but what was the reason is embarrassing for the husband?
We said because the husband himself really is supposed to be writing the get. So therefore, so if he tells two people to write it, and implying that he himself doesn't know how to, then if they delegate it to somebody else, it'll become embarrassing for the husband that he doesn't know how to do it himself. Yeah. Tosfos also mentions a point that if they tell somebody else, not really a different point, but Tosfos says that that's why also not only they have to write it, but they also have to give it. They have to be personally the ones to deliver the get. When he said the two people kissvu, because. Otherwise, if they tell somebody else to give it, then that other person is going to realize that the husband maybe didn't write it, and the husband is mocked at the giving as well. So when the get was already written, then he doesn't mind having it delegated to somebody else. That would be what we said. Therefore, that if the original shliach became sick, then you can give it to somebody else. But if he tells them to write it, which is the case in the Mishnah later on in Daf Samach Vav, then that's different.
Wouldn't be kosher, or just
so that's what we're saying. If you have a get that was not written with the husband's instructions, then it would be possible. Yes. So here, if he tells two people to write the get and they go and delegate it to somebody else without his permission, then it would be possible. So in fact, again, in the Seder get they do nowadays, the husband tells the sofer to write the get, and he tells him write as many gittin as are necessary in order to get even one kosher or one. And I think he also tells the sofer that if need be, you can delegate it to somebody else. And that way, he's clearly saying to begin with that you can, and that way you don't have any of these issues. And even if the sofer falls sick or otherwise can't complete the job, then somebody else can do it.
Those are the pre-written
gittin. And then they're not really, actually. We talked about the other day about pre-written gittin. We said in the end that the gzera tofus otu todif. We said in there, we had different opinions over there, but in the end, we said with a get, we don't even want the yevid. Maybe the tofus can be written in advance, but l'chatchila we shouldn't, because we don't want him to mistakenly think that he can write the tofus in advance too, and then it would be possible because you need the get to be written l'shma. So the ma'isa nowadays, all gittin are written from scratch. Ksubas and things like that are different. We talked about there about other kinds of shtaris that they can be written, that they don't need to be written with lashma, of course. So you can have blanks. And in fact, for example, with ksubas, you have pre-printed ones that people commonly use. Mind you, there are a couple of achronim. I meant to talk about this the other day briefly, but mind you, there are actually a couple of achronim who don't like the idea of pre-printed ksubas either. But the consensus of most achronim is that there's not an issue with it. But gittin is different, yeah. Anyway, okay, so if the get has not yet been written and he tells people to write the get, then they themselves have to write the get. For the reasons that we just said, because of bizoyan or because mili le mimsu and l'shliach. If the get is already written and he's giving it to somebody to send, then if that, as long as that person doesn't have an onus, then he's required to bring it. But if not, then he's able to delegate another shliach to bring it. This is all again in Eretz Yisrael, where there's no issue b'fani nichta b'fani nechtam. What happens in Chutz La'aretz, where he needs to be able to say that, that we'll learn in the next mission. Now, the Mishnah had continued. Now, the Mishnah had continued, on the other hand, if the husband says to the shliach, when you're going to give her the get, go pick up this object from her, then we said he can't delegate it to somebody else because the husband may not want that it's because then should be in somebody else's possession. So Omer Rish Lakish, Kanashon Rebbe. So Rish Lakish says, in this connection, Rebbe taught the following halacha. When Rebbe was compiling the Mishnah and teaching it to his Talmidim, in this connection, he brought up the din, that a borrower is not allowed to lend out the object that he borrowed to somebody else, and a renter is not allowed to rent out the object that he borrowed to somebody else, unless, of course, the original person gave him permission. But it's the same idea. In other words, it's the same idea. He doesn't want that. In other words, when we're saying in our Mishnah that he can't send it with somebody else, has nothing to do with the shluchos of the get per se. It has to do with we're not saying, Rashi explains, that if he were to send it with somebody else in that case, the get wouldn't be a get. It will be a valid get. But he did make him a shliach to divorce to bring the get. And therefore, we said, if chola, if he's sick, he can send it with somebody else. But by the way, when we're saying lo yishalchenu, is because he's not supposed to, he shouldn't be sending it with somebody else because ein ritzon yishalchenu pikdonim biyad acher. But if he was over on that and did that, nevertheless, the get would be a get. And Tosfos, by the way, points out, so in that sugya, in Bav Metzia, in Hamafkid, where it talks about this whole matter of Ein Ritzon Yishei Pekdoni Biyad Acher, the Gemara presents there, Machloikas Abaya and Rava, whether Shomer Shemosel the Shomer is a Chayev or Potter. If Reuven is a Shomer for an object, and he decides to hand it over to Shimon to watch, if something happens to it while Shimon is guarding it, would Reuven be chayev or not? And the Gemara discusses all the ins and outs of it. And one point is, the Gemara says he might be potter. Abaya says he's potter because Moser the Ben Das, I think Rav actually says over there, that he'd be potter because Moser the Ben Das, he did after all give it to somebody who has Das. So nevertheless, even Rav would agree that Lachtchila shouldn't be doing it. Anyway. So Rish Lakish says, so Rebbe explained when he taught this Mishnah that the reason behind the din of our Mishnah is not that if you were to delegate somebody else to get would be possible, but that he shouldn't be doing it because of the other object, because Ein Ritzon Yishei Pekdonim Biyad Acher. Amaloi Rabbi Yechanan, but Rabbi Yechanan says to Rish Lakish, Zu afilu tinokos Rabbis Rabban Yodinosa. That particular din, even children know that. Of course, if you lend somebody to somebody else, Ein Ashoy Rashoy Lahashoy. You don't need Rebbe to be teaching us that. Ella, rather, Rabbi Yochanan explains, you're saying, Rish Lakish, that if the person is over and asks somebody else to take it, the get will still be kosher. No, Zimna de Gita Nami Lahabi. There can be times when it would passel the get as well. Because saying, go and bring her this get and pick up this object from her would be the equivalent of saying to her, Al tigarsha el babayis. Suppose that the husband says to the shliach, I want you to give her this get only in the house, only in the ground floor of the house. The gersha ba'aliyah, and instead he does it in the second floor. Or Al tigarsha el b'yamin, or I want you to give it to her davka with your right hand, the gersha b'smol, and he gives it with her left hand. So he never made him a shliach for such a thing. So therefore, the same thing, the shlichus of the get might depend on the object. So in other words, in effect, the husband would be saying, if you can't pick up that object from her, don't give her the get. Well, then if he sends the get with somebody else and somebody else is picking up the object, the husband may be machped on that and he might not have appointed him a shliach with that in mind. So don't tell me, the shlokish, that the get is always going to be kosher. We're just saying he was over on this Ein Ritzon Yishei Pekdonim Biyad Acher, he might actually be passing on the get as well.
It's because it has nothing to do with the get, it just happens.
No, it just happens to be, yeah. So the Gemara points out, Dekula Alma, now both of them would agree, both Reb Yechon and Rish Lakish would agree, Hecha de Naftala Ape, if she came out to greet the Shliach, the Yahavalei Chefetz, and she gave him the object, the Hodor Shaklamine, and then she took the get from him, Kula Alma, they pligged the Gita Mal Yahavi. Both of them will agree that the get is a valid get, because ultimately, we're going to say the husband was not makbir on the get itself. It's not like the get depends. If the husband had said, so in other words, because where first she gave him the object, so now that part of it is over. Now comes the giving of the get. So at that point, there's nothing holding back the giving of the get. In other words, we can't say the husband, in effect, might have been saying, I want this get to be given only if you first get this object from her. Well, if he got the object, there's no more problem. So therefore, b'dievet, if he were to send the get with somebody else, for example, if chola, then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that it's not considered, that's not a problem. Ki pligi heicha do amale. The machlokas would be only if he specifically says. So, in other words, if he just said, so if the husband hadn't said one way or the other, he just said totally chayfetz pliny, get me this object, then fine. Then it doesn't. If she offered it to him first, then fine.
Order doesn't matter.
The order then right. So right then the order wouldn't matter. But the nafkamina would be the key pligi heicha do amalei shkul mino chayfetz v'hoder havla gita. Suppose the husband says, get this object from her, then give her the get. V'ozal ihu v'yahav la gita v'hoder shakul mina. Then she does it the other way around. First he gives her the get, and then gets the object from her. So v'hoder shakul mina chayfetz, and then he takes the object. So when he said it in that order, you could say that he was makbid. He plans to hold back the get and not give it to her if she doesn't give her that object. In other words, Rashi uses the expression iguna. He wants to harass her by that she's going to remain in aguna unless she gives this object. Is he an erlich person for doing that? No, but halacha is halacha that he does have the ability to do that. So therefore, so now when he did differently. He gave her the get first and then took the object from her. So Rabbi Yochanan poisel. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to say it's possible because he switched around the order, and that would apply boy even if he himself gave it. All the more so if he had his shliach do it instead. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means, that sometimes the get itself might be possible. So and therefore that would explain the loy shalchenim yad achar of the Mishnah. Rashi says because. If he gives it to the first one, if he gives it to the first one and tells him, I want you to pick up this object and then deliver the get. When the first one tells it over to the second one, he may not preserve that order. He may just tell him, Pliny sent me and to give the get. And by the way, pick up this object. And the second one is not going to realize that that needs to be done in Dafke in that order. But Rish Lakish, Machsha B'Shlucha, B'Choshekin Boy, Rish Lakish would say that it's kosher, even with the Shliach, and how much more so him himself, because Rish Lakish would say he's not really being Machbid, that it has to be Dafke in that order. He's not going to be Ludoisa B'Iguna, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, as Rashi explains about Rabbi Yochanan. He just means he wants the object. It's not that he just mentioned the object first, maybe because it's more important to him or whatever, but not necessarily because he intends to actually hold back the get until the object is received.
Even if they're according to the other one, according to the first one who says he can't, it's impossible.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, yeah.
If it was accomplished, it still matters, though.
So that's what we said. If he received the object first and then gave the get, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that the get was fine. That's what we said at the bottom of the previous Amud. Because the fact is, he received the object first. So now the only possible problem would be Ein Ritzonu She'Pikdonim Yad Acher. Fine, but that doesn't matter in Dinim Mominus. That's not a reason to pass all the get. But as long as it was done in order. But if he did it out of order, then that would be the question.
Even though it was a
comment. Right. Tosfos points out, by the way, you have a Gemara in Ksubas that talks about a different scenario over there where you have where he sends a shliach to give the person money to pay off a loan or whatever and get back the shtar. So whatever order he says it, then if the guy gives him the money without getting the shtar first, then the shlichus is void, and the mashalayach can say that you can say the shlichus is void, and I rescind what you just did. The difference is, Tosfos says, because those two things obviously have to do. The fact that he mentioned pick up the shtar, he wants to make sure the other guy is not going to claim that this payment was for some other loan, which the Gemara calls over there sitroi. But here, that's not an issue, so therefore there's not a problem as long as the shliach did do things in the correct order, then fine. Okay, so this that was saying also that as long as he did it in the right order, then it's fine. But if he didn't do it in the right order, then Rabbi Yochanan is going to passel even the get, and he's going to passel kol shekin b'shlucha. We said how much more so with the shliach, and Rashi explains because he might have not even told the shliach the instructions properly. That part Tosfos disagrees with. So just remember to tell him in the proper order that the husband said. What it is Tosfos says when he says in that order, take from get from her this object and then give her the get. So again, he's making one dependent on the other. Even if the second shliach did do exactly what he was told, but because he said the shlichus of the get depends on this other object, then Tosfos says that means that he wants the shlichus to depend on the object. Any change from the das abal, any change from the husband's das, is going to passel that get, and that would include that would include even appointing a second shliach, because the husband by saying pick up this object, and that includes ein mitzoni shepik donim biad acher, is implying therefore I don't want you to send it with somebody else. Therefore, Tosfos learns. So again, according to Rashi, only if the second one did it out of order would it be a problem. According to Tosfos, even if he did it in order, it would be a problem because the husband was clearly makbid that only his original shliach should do it. So therefore, it would come out that if in that case where there's an object involved to pick up and the first shliach can't do it, then he's going to have to return to the husband and tell him, I can't bring this get because I'm not available anymore. Okay. Mishnah says, now, so we said in the previous Mishnah what happens when the shliach is in Eretz Yisrael. So there you don't have the issue of refani nichtam, refani nechtam. Now what happens if he's bringing from Chutz La'aretz, where he does? So the Mishnah says, maybe get me medinas yam, if he's bringing a get from overseas, v'chola, and he became sick, oisa shliach bebeistin u'mashalchoi. Then he can appoint another shliach in beistin, you can appoint another shliach in Beis Din, and then he can send off that person with the shliach. The reason he has to do it in Beis Din is because again, the first one has to say it in front of the Beis Din, b'fanei nechtam, because the second one won't be able to, and then they can delegate it to a second shliach. But oimer lefneim b'fanei nechtam. So the first shliach says b'fanei nechtam. The ein shliach achron soch shiyem b'fanei nechtam. Now, when the second shliach comes, he doesn't have to be able to say b'fanei nechtam. Ela oimer shliach Beis Din ani. He says I am a shliach of Beis Din. And we can assume that Beis Din knew what they were doing, and therefore the get is kosher. And then you have the same rules as we've been talking about since the beginning of the Masechta, where now the husband has no possibility of objecting to the get, and it's considered as though the signatures were validated by two Eidim, etc. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim, the Chachmei HaYeshiva, asked Avimi, the father of Rabbi Bohu. They said, boy me name Rabbi Bohu. Ask your father, ask Rabbahu the following question. Shliach de shliach, mishavish shliach oiloi. Suppose that you have the second shliach, can he now appoint a third shliach instead? When we say that the second shliach can say shliach Beis Din ani, would that apply even to a shliach of a shliach or not? Oiloi. So Avimi tells them, you don't really need to ask this question. Apparently, what it is, in other words, the Chachamim, the Rabbi Bohu would have his son Avimi, I guess, sort of screen the questions that come to him, so they're not coming to him with every question that comes up. This way, he can focus more on the more difficult things. Anyway, so Avimi says you have no reason to ask that. Holoi tiboylehu midkatoni, because the Mishnah had said. The Mishnah had used the expression the last shliach. Now it didn't say the second shliach. So therefore, miklal de meshavi shliach. That implies the word achron implies that you can have another shliach instead of, and not just the second one. Because the word achron, the word achron can mean the second one, but it can also mean the last one. An interesting side thing in this actually is that the Navi Chagai says when at the beginning of the second Mishmikdash, he says, Godu Yikvoida Bayis Hazeh Achron Minarisha. The glory of this latter house will be greater than that of the first one. The glory of the second Mishmikdash will be greater than the first. So some people wanted to argue, Ha'achron means the last one, and that implies there's not going to be a third Mishmikdash, Chas v'Shalom. But in fact, the word Achron can mean the later one and not necessarily the last one. You have by the Oseis that Moshe was told to do in front of Paray and in front of the Jewish people in Parashas Shemois. Hashem tells him, if they don't listen, if the Jewish people don't listen, l'kola oisa rishon, v'hamino l'kola oisa achron, where achron there doesn't mean the last one because there's another one after it. So we see that the word achron can just mean a later one in the series, not necessarily the last one. But here, in the Lashon of Chazal, if it actually just meant the second one, it would have said shame. So achron means even the last one in the series. So therefore, Sir Avimi says that's so the answer is, of course, he could. Rather, if you're going to be asking my father a question, what you should be asking is kimeshavi shliach bebeistin oyafilo shaloi bebeistin. When we're saying the first one, we're talking about the second one. If the second one is going to be appointing a third shliach, and we know that he can, does he have to do that in beistin, or can he do that outside of beistin?
Of course, you said. After
you said b'fanenecht. Now the second one can say shliach based in ani. The question is, if the second one has to delegate to a third one, what would the third one say? So that should be the question. Omrule, so the other chachamim answered Avimi. Ha loymi boyalad. Actually, as far as that, we don't have the question. V'dikotani ela oymi shliach based in ani. Since the Mishnah says that. The second one says shliach based in ani. So therefore, that implies he has to have been appointed and based in. Otherwise, how could he say shliach based in ani? So in other words, the answer would be yes. The second one can appoint the third shliach, but he has to appoint it and based. He has to appoint him and based in order in front of based in, so that the third one can also say shliach based in ani. So the Gemara continues. Reb Nachman Beitzchok Masni Hachi. Reb Nachman Beitzchok learned that the exchange, that the dialogue went as follows. It started with Amri Le Rabbanon Le Rabbimi Breder Rabbahu, Boy Minei Rabbanon Rabbahu. According to Reb Nachman Beitzchok's version, they asked Rabbimi to ask the Rabbahu, Shliach de Shliach. When you have a Shliach of a Shliach, the third Shliach, Ki Meshavi Shliach Bebeistin, O Shaloi Bebeistin. If he's going to appoint, according to the second version, they started with the question of whether it needs to be appointed and based in or not. In the first version, they were asking, can you even appoint a third shliach? And the answer was from the Mishnah that yes. Now, in the second version, they started with the question is, it's a given that he can appoint the third, that the second one can appoint the third, but does he have to do it in front of based in? Amalahu, so Avimi asks them, V'tiboy lachu im shavi shliach ba'alma. First, you should ask the question whether B'chlali can appoint a shliach. Omrulay, and according to this version, the Chachamim say to Avimi, Holo kama boylon, we have no doubt about that. Ein shliach miditnan, ditnan, ein a shliach achron, because the Mishnah used the expression, the last shliach doesn't have to say b'fanenechtem, we call the shliach m'shavi shliach. So we see that true, one shliach can appoint a shliach. We don't have a question about that. Ela ki kama boyalon be based in or shalom be based in. Our only question is whether it's in based in or not. Omulahu and Avimi answers them. Honami like to boy lahu. There's no reason you should have that question. Mitkotoni ela ima shliach based in ani. Since it says that he has to be able to say shliach based in ani, so obviously he has to have been appointed in. Obviously he has to have been appointed in based. Okay, so according to either version, the bottom line is that it's clear that the shliach can appoint another shliach, but it always has to be done in based in so that the last one can say shliach based in ani. Okay, the Gemara continues. Omar Rabba, shliach be'eretz Yisrael oisa kama shlochim. Now in Eretz Yisrael, where there's no b'fanenechtem, then he could make as many shlochim as necessary. There he doesn't need to do it in front of Beis Din, because therefore nobody needs to say shliach Beis Din ani. So therefore you can make new shlochim indefinitely. Again, as we learned in the previous, and we learned in connection with the previous Mishnah, only if he's sick or has some other kind of onus, and only if the husband didn't tell him Toruch Chafetz Poini. But otherwise, as far as the issue of b'fanenechtem, since that doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, then therefore you could appoint a chain of as many shlochim as necessary.
There's no kafid over here at all.
And there's no kafid over here at all, again, because why would there be a reason to be makbid? The writing of the get has already been accomplished, so the husband doesn't have any embarrassment that people will know that he can't write a get. And as far as the delivery of the get, we assume that he's not machbid that it should be dafka that person. We talked about it on Aleph. Maybe if he says at holach, he says you bring it, then that might be different. But even then, we said that maybe chola would be an exception to that. The husband, we can't expect that the husband's going to be machbid if the guy is sick, that he shouldn't be able to delegate to somebody else. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Ashi, im nes rishon batlu kolon. Suppose the first shliach dies before the get reached the woman, then the shlichus of all of them is batel because they're all coming from his koyach. So therefore, if he's gone, then all of them are gone. But Amar Mab Rav Ashi, hod abba de katnusi. However, Mab Rav Ashi, who was Rav Ashi's son, says, you should know this statement of my father, de katnusi, that is something that he said when he was younger. And it's something that yesh lahoshiv aleh. Rashi says you could refute it. You could say he said that when he was younger, and now when he became older, maybe he realized it's not so. But in any case, we can show that it's not necessarily a good reason to say either mesbal, because after all, you have to consider, suppose the husband had died, then would there be any mamoshus in them? Of course not. The whole shlichus would be bato. Kulu mikoyach man kosu, because who do they come? They all come from whose power? Mikoyach de baal kosu. They come from the power of the husband. They're all shluchim of the husband. Isir the baal isnu the kulu. Lesne the baal less the baal lesne the kulu. Only if the husband dies. So when as long as the husband is alive, then they all continue to exist and they have their shliach, but they have their shlichus. But if the husband dies, then their shlichus expires. So it doesn't depend on the first shliach. It depends on the husband. For that reason, also we had yesterday in the Mishnah, we had when we talked about the case where the person is bringing the shliach and the husband was old or sick, we said he can continue to bring it becheskas shulkayim, and Rashi used the expression over there. We're not concerned that the shlichus is bottle. So we talked about a little bit yesterday why Rashi uses that phrasing that we don't say the shlichus is bottle, rather than saying we're not concerned of ein get la'achamisa. But the bottom line is we see in our Gemara over here an example of that. That was saying that it really depends on whether the husband is alive or not. Once he dies, then the shlichus is batal. So therefore, that previous Mishnah, with that earlier Mishnah, would be talking in the same vein that as long as we have a chazaka, that the guy is alive, then we can deliver. Then we can deliver the get and assume that he still is.
The husband,
yeah. Okay. So the Gemara tells, Hahu gavir the shodala gitel advesu. Here we're going to talk about another example, another twist on this point of shliach ois shliach. So there was a man who was sending a get to his wife. Omar shliach lo yadayin lo. So the husband says, how can I bring her the get? I don't recognize her. I don't recognize her. The shliach says. So how am I going to bring her the get? How am I going to bring her the get? So the husband tells him, no problem. Zil yahve l'abba b'manyumi. Go give the get to Abba b'manyumi. Do ihu yodala. He knows her. And then Abba b'manyumi can go and deliver the get to her. Also, v'lay ashkach l'abba b'manyumi. So the shliach went, but he couldn't find Abba b'manyumi either. Ashkach l'rabbohu v'rab chanin v'popo v'rab yitzchak napcha. He found these three chachamim were sitting together. The Yosef Rav Safra Gabayhu, and together with them Rav Safra was sitting. Now the three Chachamim that we just named all lived in Eretz Yisrael. They're all called Rabbi, meaning that they had Smicha. And we mean the original Smicha Ish Mipiish. Rav Safra is called Rab, meaning that he came, he was from Bavel. We find in the Gemara, he used to travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and then bring the teachings of one place to the other. But he was from Bavel, and he had never received Smicha, because that Smicha can be given only in Eretz Yisrael. So the shliach found those four chachamim sitting together. Omrule, so they told. So now the shliach says, so what should I do? I don't know the wife herself. Abba b'manyumi, I can't find. So what do I do? So omrule, so they told him, Mesir milach kamedidan, give over your words, give over your shliach in front of us. The kiyaisi abba b'manyumi nesvinale. When abba b'manyumi comes, we'll give it to him. V'leizu v'lesvinale, and then he'll be able to give it to her. So we'll be your middleman. But that was the three chachamim from Eretz Yisrael said that. But Amar Lahu Rav Safra says, how could you do that? However, this was not a shliach who was appointed for the purpose of Gerushin. He wasn't appointed a shliach to actually bring her the get. Normally a shliach halacha, as we've been talking about, he stands in place of the husband and he brings the get and gives it to the wife, and now it's considered as though it went from the husband to her and therefore she's divorced. This person was never appointed as a shliach for the actual gerushin. His job was to give it to Abba Baman Yomi. So how could he give it to somebody else? How can he delegate that shlichus to somebody else? So they were all embarrassed that they hadn't realized that point. So Rava later on commenting on the story, he says, you see that, look at this, Rav Safra was able to outwit, was able to overpower three chachamim who have smicha. They have smicha, ishmi piyish, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Safra did not, and still he realized the point that they had not realized. But Amar Rav Ashi, the Ma'ik Kachinu, but Rav Ashi says, in what way do you think that he defeated them? It's not necessarily a valid counter argument, what he said. Mika Amale Abba Baman Yomi v'loy at. Did he specifically say that Abba Baman Yomi should give it to her and not you? Let's say when the guy comes to Eretz Yisrael, let's say he has some way of finding out, or when he comes to he finds out somehow who the woman is. Somebody shows him a picture of her or whatever. Then, so the husband never said, you shouldn't give it to her. He just said, if you don't know who she is, then delegate it to Abba Baman Yomi and he'll do it. So you can't say that he was told not to be a shliach l'gerushin. He was told, you don't have to be a shliach l'gerushin. You can delegate it to Abba Baman Yomi.
All because he said, I don't know who she is.
Right, but the husband never said to him, I absolutely do not want you to give it to her. If he had, then yeah, Rav Safra would have a point. But Rav Ashi is saying, since he never said that, then that's not necessarily such a valid point. Ikadamri, another version of the story is Omar Rabba Kapchinu Rabban Latlasa Kapchinu Rav Safra Latlasa Rabban Samochi B'Teusa. In the second version, Rava says, yes, it's true that Rav Safra outwitted the three chachamim. By the way, the word kapchinu, Rashi explains, literally the shortish kofa, kuf peches, literally means to cut off. So it means like he cut out the legs from underneath them. Like they can't find an answer for what they're saying. So now in the second version, Rava is saying that actually Rav Safra's argument against them was itself a mistake. And in other words, Rava is saying Rav Safra said what sounded like a good point, but the truth is there's a mistake in it, like Rav Ashi had just said, because the husband didn't tell him don't be a shliach l'gerushin. So therefore, so it would have been fine if he had actually given over the shlichus to them. But Omer Rav Ashi mai ta'usa. Rav Ashi says, what's the mistake? What makes you think that Rav Safra made a mistake? Mai ka'amalei Abba Baman Yomi v'layat. After all, what did the husband tell him? He said, Abba Baman Yomi, and not you. So in other words, we can say that, yes, the husband did, in fact, rescind the guy's shlichus as a shliach halacha, and told him, you just be the mailman, basically, to bring it to Abba Baman Yomi, but you should not give her the get herself, even if you find out who she is afterwards. That's what Rav Ashi is saying in the second version. Tosfos has a bit of a different girsa according to both versions, Rav Ashi is actually stating what the mistake was. According to the girsa we have in front of us in the Gemara, the first version was Rava is saying Rav Safra was correct, and Rav Ashi is pointing out, no, there's a flaw in Rav Safra's reasoning. According to the second version that we have in front of us in the Gemara, it's the other way around. Rava is saying there's a flaw in Rav Safra's reasoning, and Rav Ashi is saying why. There's not necessarily a flaw in it. Rav Safra was correct. According to Tosfos' Girsa, in both versions, Rav Ashi is saying, yes, I it's true that Rav Safra made a mistake. In the first version, Rava is saying Rav Safra managed to beat them, and Rav Ashi is saying, no, he made a mistake. And in the second version, Rava is saying he beat them, but he himself made a mistake in the process, and Rav Ashi is agreeing, you're right, he made a mistake because such and such.
Because he said,
by saying that Abba Baman Yomi, you should give it, he implies not at. He implies that you should not. So according to Tosfos, the point is, in both versions, Rav Ashi is agreeing that Rav Safra had made a mistake. In the first version, he's not agreeing. In the first version, he's saying against Rava that Rav Ashi made a mistake. And in the second version, when Rava says Rav Safra made a mistake, Rav Ashi is agreeing with him. According to the version we have in the Gemara in front of us, in the first version, Rav Ashi is saying that Rav Safra made a mistake. And the second version, he's saying he did not.
Rav Safra is the one who contradicted
the three Chachamim and said that the husband had only given, had not made him a Shliach L'Gerish. So Rav Safra is the one who came from Bava.
Okay, so it's an easy case. He's not.
So that's the thing. So first we have two different versions in the Gemara of what Rava said. We have either that Rava said Rav Safra beat them, or in the first version, he says Rav Safra beat them, but the argument he used is flawed. So now we have in the Gemara, when Rav Ashi responds to that, so in the Gemara, the way we have it over here is in the first version, Rav Ashi is saying, you, Rava, are saying he beat them, but no, it was a mistake. And in the second version, Rava is saying there was a mistake on Rav Safra's part, and Rav Ashi is saying, no, there was not. In Tosfos' Girsa, in both versions, Rav Ashi is saying, yes, there was a mistake on Rav Safra's part. Okay. The Gemara tells another case. There was a man who sent a get to his wife. And he tells the shliach, give it to her only after 30 days. Now the shliach had an onus within those 30 days. Itnis, we go to Tlosin Yoimen. He had an onus during those 30 days, and he wasn't going to be able to deliver it. So he came to Rava to ask what to do. Omar Rava, chola time and my mishum to honor. So look, in the previous Mishnah, when we said that he's sick, then he's able to delegate it to another shliach. So why is that? Because it's a case of onus. Well, hai nami onusu. In this case, the shliach is also onus. So therefore, let him appoint another shliach, and the other shliach will deliver it after 30 days. So therefore, Amalei, so Rava says to the shliach, Meser milach kamedidan, so give over your words, delegate it to another shliach in front of the basin. Delabosa, plosin yemen, meshavin and shliach, v'yoyev lo nealo. After 30 days, we will appoint a shliach, and we will make sure that it gets to her. Omrulei Rabban and LaRava, but the Chachamim said to Rava, how could you do that? Again, well, Shliach Shalanitan Lagerushin, who? Isn't it a Shliach Shalanitan Lagerushin? Because within 30 days, he can't be delivering the get, because the husband specifically told him to give it only after 30 days. So he's not a Shliach Lagerushin. So how can he delegate it, just like we had just now in the story of the three Chachamim and Rav Safra? So how could he delegate his shlichus within the 30 days when he's not yet considered a shliach l'gerushin? It would be just like in the previous case where he's not a shliach l'gerushin and he can't give it over to somebody else.
So now he doesn't become a shliach until after 30 days.
So in effect, he's not becoming a shliach until after 30 days. Omelahu, but Rava says not necessarily. Given to the boss of Shloss and Yemen Motzi Megarish, since he's able to give her the get after 30 days, then he is considered a shliach who was given for gerushin. All it means is there's going to be a delay, but he was given to accomplish gerushin. But the Chachamim asked Rava, the leichu shema pius, shouldn't you have a concern that during those 12 months he was mephias, he made up with her? So Rashi explains, it's one thing if he sent a get from the Dinas Hayam and there was no particular amount of time, then we can say that we don't have to worry Shema Pius, because the husband's going to figure the shliach probably got there ahead of me. By the time I come to be mephias, or the shliach will have already given the get, it's a done deal. But here where he's not going to bother schlepping from Chutzla to Eretz Yisrael or whatever, from one place to another, on the possibility that the shliach didn't reach there yet. But here, when he knows he has a 30-day grace period, maybe he would make sure to come during that time and be Matthias' wife, and therefore undo the get. Miloitnan, isn't it similar to what we learn later on in the Masechta? Me'achshav imlei bossi mikan v'ad yud b'skodesh. If the husband gives the get, saying that it should take effect as of now, if I don't arrive within the next 12 months, let's say he's going to war, and he died within the 12 months, hareis a get, then retroactively it's a get. Now this is a Gemara, this is a Mishnah later on in Or Masechta. So Vavinan Ba, now we discuss in that Gemara over there, V'necho Shema Pius, again, don't you have the concern Shema Pius? So Rav Bar Rav Huna says, this is what my father, my Rebbe, meaning Rav Huna, said in the name of Rav, We're talking about where the husband says, I trust her. If she's going to say that I didn't come, then I didn't come during that time, then I trust her. I trust her to say that I didn't arrive during that time. But if it weren't for that, then yes, there would be the concern that maybe during that 12 months he had showed up at some point and been mafias her.
So the
case of it there is, he says that I want the get to take effect as of now if I don't return in the next 12 months. Now, if he returns during the 12 months, the get's going to be bottled. So is there the concern that maybe sometime during the 12 months he showed up and was mafias her? So, but if he said, or not even mafias, so just the fact that he showed up. But if she says that I wasn't in town, then we can trust her. Well, then in that case, then the get will be a get after 12 months or when he dies. So we see that there is the concern of Shema Pius. So how can you say over here that where there's a 30-day delay in the giving of get, that you're saying he can give it, that he can give over the shlichus to the Beis Din, and they can appoint another shliach? What if Shema Pius? Earlier, by the way, we had a point about Shema Pius. We had previously when we talked about we had the case over there of Adam signing the get later on than it was written, and we talked about over there Shema Pius. So Rashi had explained over there that if yes, then it would be a get yoshan, and Tosfos had a discussion over there that no, get yoshan is something else, that there's two different things. Shema Pius and get yoshan are two different things. Get yoshan is where they were in yichud together, and there's a concern we've had a couple of times already, gita kodim l'bna, people are going to think that maybe she became pregnant, that maybe she became pregnant after receiving the get, and therefore that the child was pogrom, he was born out, he was conceived out of wedlock. Pius, Tosfa says, is something else, that he may have been mevatel. He may have been mevatel the get in between. Anyway, isn't that an issue over here? So the Gemara says ichzi. So Rava was embarrassed that he hadn't thought of that point. In the end, it turned out the arusa havoi, that the wife in this case was an arusa. So then there was much less of a concern that Shema Pius. The concern of Shema Pius would be that he might have made up with her and it would be a get yoshin, it was mevatel get or whatever. That would be if they were already married from before that. So therefore, there's a much greater likelihood that he eventually patched things up with her. But when she's an arusa and they don't even know each other that well yet, then there's much less of a concern like that. So Amar Rava, im Amar ben Nesua, yomer ba'arusa. So in fact, Rava says, if they said this din by a Nesua, that he's going to try to be Mephiaser, would the same din apply to an Arusa? Not necessarily. So it turns out that Rava's psak was valid after all, not for the reason that he thought originally, but for a side point. Rabbi Akiva Eger refers over here in Gilyon HaShas. You have several places in Shas where you have that kind of thing, with Rava specifically, where Rava set up psak din, and then they question him on the basis of some Mishnah or Braisa or something else, and he was embarrassed that he hadn't thought of that, and it turned out in the end that he was correct, and the circumstances were such that his original psak halacha is valid. This is an example of the concept you talk about, that a Rava has siyata dishmaya. And we find this particularly with Rava. There's explanations in Sfarim why Dafka Rava, but in any case, the point is, so we had the special siyata dishmaya, that the lasuki shmaita liber dehilchus, had to come up with the correct decision in halacha, even if on the face of it, it seemed at first that he was basing himself on wrong information. But it turned out after all that once you had the fuller information, then it turned out his psak halacha was correct.
Notice over here that the filans, that we do trust her in saying that he didn't come to be.
If he says to begin with that I trust her, but if he didn't say that, then not. Then we have the concern, Shema Pius. So that's what the Chachamim were asking Rava. Isn't there the concern, Shema Pius? And now that it turns out that she was an Arusa, then that's not an issue, because you're not going to have Shema Pius by an Arusa.
But if it wasn't married.
If they had been fully married, then yes, in fact, you couldn't necessarily say that this Shliach could delegate the Shlichus to the Beis Din and have them appoint another Shliach after 30 days, because what if Shema Pius in between? What if Shema Pius, and now it'll be a get Yoshin according to Rashi, or that it'll be a Mevatel, the get according to Tosfos?
And there wouldn't be a call.
And they wouldn't know a coil of what?
But they were Pius.
No, not necessarily.
You make up, you
know. Yeah, but that's we talked about a few days ago. Yeah, but that's different. If they're living in one place and they've been quarreling loudly the whole time, and now quiets down, then we can say that the neighbors are going to know. But here we're talking about the get as being brought from the Din HaSayam. They weren't together anyhow. So therefore, so people
aren't. And you wouldn't go to Bezin if you know that this can happen. He wants his shit to give her a get. And here he wants to stay married to her. I better do something about that get that I gave.
Rashi explains. If there was no delay with the get, if he just sent the shliach and said, give it to her, then the husband is going to figure, yes, I might still be able to patch things up with her. But on the other hand, that requires me to get there ahead of the shliach. I may not be able to, so he may not bother schlepping out. But if he knows that there's a 30-day grace period, then he might well try to do that. And therefore, there's much more of a concern of Shema Pius. But again, when she was in Arusa, then in the end, we're saying there's much less of an issue with that because they don't know each other that well in the first place.
Only if it's a different shliach, but if it's the same shliach also, and there's no...
If it's the same shliach, then you're right. I mean, he appointed him as a shliach until he rescinds the shliachus, then that's that.
Yeah, 30 days. Wait, after 30 days.
Even that, so it just means he has to wait 30 days, that's all. But,
but this whole thing with
The whole thing with Pius, I mean... Right. So fine. I mean, the shliach can't know one way or the other whether Pius, he was given a shlichus with the get, he's going to deliver it. If it turns out that Pius, then the wife herself is going to have to know that there was something with that, and she's going to have to, she'll tell him she'll refuse the get or whatever. But yeah. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.